Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 12, bye week edition. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Let's take care of the housekeeping. We do it every week. You guys should know the drill by now. But if you're new and you don't know the drill, step one is to follow us on Twitter. Go follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Go follow the blog at GothamSN. We are on iTunes, Google Play, and Audio Boom. So there's no reason that this shouldn't be going right to your device the second you wake up on Wednesday mornings. So go subscribe on iTunes if you got an iPhone. Go subscribe to the Google Play Store if you're on Android. And if you're on desktop, because for some reason you're like Andrew Luck and you still have a flip phone, we got you on Audio Boom. So doesn't matter what device you have, you can always listen. So go subscribe there. Shout out to Brandon Love, last week's contest winner. The hat is in the mail. And I just want to quickly mention before we get into the show, I teased it last week, the huge, huge, huge giveaway. It is an authentic Nike Jason Pierre Paul jersey. That's right. It is real. It is authentic. It is a jersey. We will be giving it away on Twitter later this week. So keep your eyes out for that. There are going to be no more details on that contest during this podcast. So don't worry. Just keep your eye out for my Twitter and Weiss's Twitter, and we'll announce that. Bye week. Giants 4-3. We got to win. Weiss, you got to be feeling sort of good. About where the team is right now, I think going into the season, you know, you would have taken 4-3 going into the bye, would you not?
Yeah, I mean, had him at 5-2 going into the bye, but
yeah, okay.
Not everything goes as planned, right?
Absolutely. Before we get into the Giants, their performance of last week and moving forward and adjustments they need to make, we got to talk about the Josh Brown saga because it has officially, as of this afternoon, well, I'm not going to say officially come to an end, but for his career with the Giants is over. Most likely, his NFL career is over. The way the Giants handled it seemingly just got worse and worse as the days and the weeks went by. PR disaster. It shouldn't have lasted this long. I will let you start. My thoughts really haven't changed that much on the matter over time, but I will touch on it, but I will let you go first.
So... Obviously, I think last week we recorded on every week we record on a Tuesday night,
yep.
And this situation, the report, the documents came out Wednesday evening, so it was right. We didn't, you know, it's been a while,
yep.
In terms of that, and everything has seemed to have been settled. We hope, but there's still many questions that have yet to be answered. First and foremost, look, when this stuff came out in August, you and I, we talked about it. We said he should just be cut right then and there.
Yep.
We're hoping Randy Bullock wins the job, and we're done with Josh Brown. Me and you both had that same question as to, okay, why did we bring this guy back in the first place? You know, we were going on the assumption that the New York Giants are a first-class organization. They've publicly, the owner and the head coach, have publicly came out and have said that they have a zero tolerance for something like this. But they completely flipped the script when talking in defense of Josh Brown. These new documents, I mean, listen, I don't want to lump all domestic violence cases into one when sort of example, but when it comes to domestic violence, it's really just a moment. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like Josh Brown said, it's just a moment. It's really just a moment. We knew, you and I, even though we didn't give it much thought, we knew that this was probably not the last that we're going to hear about this. There's going to be something else that comes out. Eventually, his wife probably would have talked. More documents would have came out, like in this case. The Giants completely,
they botched it.
It's a disaster. I mean, I can't even think of enough words. I read the report that came out. I read the details. It was disturbing. Seems like Josh Brown has really serious issues. And I will say that I think the Giants were really trying to help him out and hoping that he can work on these things. At the same time, they brought him back. I think helping him is not giving him a contract extension and letting him continue to play football. I understand you want to help him out in counseling and support him in that case. I fully understand that. But bringing him back, and then the report comes out, and John Mayer is just, if you listen to the interview with Mike Francesa, he's completely lost in terms of how to explain this. He's mumbling, he's stuttering, and I know I stutter and I mumble sometimes, but, you know, he was not prepared to answer any of these questions. He couldn't answer a simple question properly, and, you know, he really put his organization in a tough spot, specifically his head coach and specifically his players. Look, this report came out on Wednesday. Thursday morning, these players were having to answer for it, and I'm sure a lot of them didn't know a lot of the details. Ben McAdoo didn't use the, you know, didn't really use the right wordage, but it's really tough for us to put the blame on the head coach when the answers need to come from the owner. We've yet to hear from general manager Jerry Reese about this situation, but at this point, does it really matter what the GM says when the head coach has said what he said? So they completely botched it. I applaud the team for kind of overcoming that distraction and all that talk and going to London and being able to play this game and win this game. But listen, man, the Giants, and I don't want to drag this out, but the Giants put this in the NFL's hands in terms of the investigation. And the NFL continues to show how just bogus, how dumb, how inept, how ridiculous they are when it comes to these type of situations, where they will sit there and they will go tooth and nail with Tom Brady over deflated footballs, over integrity. But when it comes to a serious situation like this, you sit there and you say, oh, well, new information came out. It's an absolute joke. It's an absolute travesty the way the way the NFL handles this. It shows that they don't really care. They continue to show that they don't care. They continue to botch these type of things. And you really leave the players looking for answers. And I always tell people this all the time. The NFL can do this. They can go wear, make people wear pink and do all that. But at the end of the day, all it's showing me is that, you know, when you see stuff like the Josh Brown thing or the Ray Rice thing or the Greg Hardy thing, is that the NFL just is doing this for money. They don't really care about this. And it's Roger Goodell is toxic to the NFL. He is toxic to the NFL. And the way how he just goes on, I mean, it is bogus. I'm really at a loss of words to really explain this whole thing. And I try to think this all out, but I can't. It makes me, like, I'll still laugh from Teddy Bruschi. It makes me numb to think that the NFL handles these things. It really does. No. It's completely, stuff like this needs to be taken seriously. There needs to be a zero tolerance by the owners. And when there isn't, Josh Brown is just going to be one of, maybe who knows how many other things came out. Did we think the NFL would handle another situation like they handled the Ray Rice thing? Absolutely not. But look, here we are. New information. Well, a video. Documents. And, you know.
Well, it's funny you bring it up. You touched on a lot of things that I want to touch on, so I'll try to remember them. First and foremost, you said Roger Goodell is toxic to the NFL. He is, but you got to remember also that it's all cyclical. You brought up kind of the pink and the breast cancer thing. Over 90% of that money is NFL profits. Hardly any of it goes to charity. You know, we know the documents came out a little while ago that the military actually pays the NFL for, you know, them honoring military services. So at the end of the day, all these owners are scumbags. Roger Goodell's a scumbag. But it is cyclical because Roger Goodell basically works for the owners. And as long as he's making the owners money, the owners are going to be happy and they don't really care about these domestic violence issues, these dumb fines, you know, whatever. John Mara said this back in 2014 regarding the Ray Rice incident. The commissioner took responsibility for that in his August 28th memo to the owners when he stated, "I didn't get it right. Simply put, we have to do better. And we will," Mara's statement said. "There is no place for domestic violence in our sport or in our society, and we are committed to doing our part to prevent such heinous acts going forward." That is a direct quote from John Mara. The hypocrisy there is overwhelming. You brought up Ben McAdoo earlier. Say what you will about Ben McAdoo's play calling and how he uses his players. We'll get into that later, 100%. That's on our topic list. For a rookie head coach to have to deal with Josh Brown, the media's narrative on Odell Beckham, and Eric Flowers shoving Jordan Rahn on all in one season. And it's not, and the season's only half over. First 7 weeks. So God knows what else is going to transpire through the second half of the season after the bye. I mean, And listen, he's first-year head coach, young guy, football guy, is not very outgoing. So for him to deal with this, it's not easy. Especially to have, you know, the Giants PR staff not, you know, run around like they got a fire up their ass trying to prepare everyone for, you know, all these media interviews between especially John Mara, definitely McAdoo. You said that Jerry Reese didn't even come out and speak, which is preposterous considering he's the one who offered Josh Brown his new contract even after knowing about, you know, the Pro Bowl incident. Doesn't matter if you know the specifics. The last thing that I want to touch on regarding this incident before we move on is the statement that the Giants released today, or not the Giants, rather, the statement that Josh Brown released today, essentially saying that, you know, he never struck his wife. Is that, like, a technicality? Is he trying to, like, beat around the bush and, you know, say that he didn't get physical with his wife? Because Molly Brown accused him of over 20 incidences of getting physical, especially when she was pregnant. So is he saying that he never hit her, but maybe he choked her, or maybe he shoved her? Because
that's what I'm saying. I think he's saying I never punched her or I never struck her, but I did do other.
I mean, we know about that. There was definitely verbal abuse and mental abuse, but if there, she alleged that there's also physical abuse, and he essentially either tried to deny it in his statement today, or tried to give it the runaround and say and get off on a technicality, which I don't think anyone called him out on. I didn't see it. End of the day, it's disgusting. He shouldn't have been on the Giants in the first place. I mean, he's a goddamn kicker. You could have replaced him in the offseason. I know he was good, and he was good, okay? He was very good last year. He missed one kick, I guess, against the Patriots that would have won them the game, but
the Jets, he missed the one that would have tied.
The Jets, yeah, my mistake. Against the Jets.
Well, that's all relevant to this.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's he shouldn't have been on the team. I'm happy that this is behind us. The Giants can kind of go into the bye week, get some rest, refocus for a very important matchup.
It's one last thing before we move on. All right, this is the hypocrisy of the New York Giants. John Mara said he knew he abused her. He knew of the incident. Fine. Before this stuff came out, when Josh Brown first met the media after the announcement of suspension and that it was a domestic violence issue, Josh Brown said it was just a moment.
Right.
According to the Giants, they knew about
multiple instances.
They knew about multiple instances, including the Pro Bowl incident.
Yeah.
So how do you only suspend this guy for one game? If it's a plethora of incidents and it's a buildup, and you don't know the exact details, it's still a plethora of incidents. That should garner a 6-game suspension. The way they handle this stuff it tarnished the Giants' reputation right now. It's going to take a while before the Giants rebuild that reputation.
Yeah.
In the public light. Obviously, fans will think differently because they know more of how the Giants work. But in the public eye, for an organization that is in the public eye, does everything right, this is not a good look. And like you said, Ben McAdoo, I agree with you 100%. This arrest happened when Tom Coughlin was the head coach. People say, well, this would have never happened if Tom Coughlin was here. First of all, he got arrested in May. He was playing that year. So don't tell me that, you know, this wouldn't have happened if it was Tom Coughlin, because it did. And It shows. I mean, Ben McAdoo kept that locker room together. They got a win down in London. It's a positive thing when you see a head coach is able to do that and not lose his locker room. As far as the PR, is a disaster. Putting their players in front of the mic, have the players don't know what's going on, and having to answer for this. Guys are saying stuff that they shouldn't really say, and it was a bad 48 to 72 hours for the Giants. And luckily, they were going to London, where the U.S. media didn't all go down there and ask him more questions. So, you know, it was bad.
Agreed. All right. Yep. Moving on.
Let's get into football.
Let's get to some football. You want to talk Joe Thomas?
Joe Thomas. Well, obviously the report came out, Pro Football Talk. It seems like Joe Thomas these type of things always come out every year.
He's on the block every single season, it seems like.
Last year, he was on the block. There were talks about Denver giving up a first-round pick and then some to get him. The Browns decided not to do that. This year, obviously, the report, the Giants are among several teams that are interested, asking prices, a second-round pick. I think some of you guys read Ethan's piece on that. I'll let him explain that, but it seems like he's for it. With me, I'll give you pros and cons. The pros are obviously you get an all-pro left tackle. You plug him in at left tackle. You move your developmental left tackle, Eric Flowers, to the right side or inside, whatever way you want to do that. It makes your team much better. You have a guy like Joe Thomas in the locker room. His talent, his personality, his just overall, he's overall a good person to have in the locker room. I think that would help the locker room. His play obviously speaks for itself. Cons, you know, you have to, here's the thing. For this, first of all, we still don't know if the Browns are willing to trade yet, because we saw what Hugh Jackson said. He was adamant. And if you haven't seen the clip, you guys should go watch the clip. He was adamant about it. He said, I'm not trading Joe Thomas. And one of the things, if you actually think about it, is the Browns have to figure out if any of these rookie quarterbacks are people that they can count on for the future. So they need a potent left tackle there to help that experiment. But in terms for the Giants' sake, I will say this. The general manager has to ask himself, am I a good left tackle or a good offensive lineman away from being a Super Bowl contender? Because I look at my recent draft success in the second round, and Hankins, Richburg, Landon Collins, who we'll get into later as well, and last year with Sterling Shepard, can I risk that to get a Joe Thomas who can play 2, 3, 4, who knows how many years left at a high level? If you think you can do that, if you think that you are Joe Thomas away from being a Super Bowl contender, then you make the trade, or you offer the trade. I won't say you make the trade. You offer the trade. If not, then you stick to what you have, and you continue to ride it out. But for me, I've gone back and forth, but I would do it. I would trade a second-round pick for Joe Thomas. They have the salary cap space, so I would give up a second-round pick for Joe Thomas.
All right. We're in agreement there. Let me go into a few things. One, shout out to Cleveland, because from everything I've read on message boards, the internet, Twitter, their fans are very self-aware. It's good to see that the Cavs' success and the Indians' success hasn't gone to their head, and they realize that the Browns are still a dumpster fire, and they truly do want the best for Joe Thomas. They're saying, go, trade him. He doesn't deserve to be, you know, stuck with this crappy team anymore. Like, let him go chase a championship. One, your last point you brought up in terms of Jerry Reese and his draft picks. Let me ask you this, because I think it's a good point. If the Giants miss the playoffs this year, do you think, and I know you're more of a Jerry fan than I am, do you think in your heart of hearts that Jerry Reese is going to be the general manager for the next year, or do you think he'll be fired?
If they miss the playoffs and finish worse than six and ten or worse, I think all things are on the table in terms of head coach.
So 7-9, he still has a job?
Yeah, 7-9, I think so. But listen, I'll tell you this. I think, and this is what I think. I think that the head coach, the general manager, and the quarterback are tied for the remainder of the quarterback's contract. Unless things go completely AWOL and they go 6-10 or 5-11 and they don't continue to progress. But I think that if a 7-9 record or better, or even if they miss the playoff, I don't think the general manager. I think last year when the owner stood up there and said, I believe that he can fix this, I think you understand that it's not going to be a year. It's not going to be a year fix. It's going to take more. And if we look at this roster, I understand the deficiencies on the offensive line. But, you know, you see fans that are yelling for Jarrell Adams, yelling for Paul Perkins because they see what they bring to the table. So you can't really put the blame on Jerry. I know there's something you can blame him on, but the money he spent, the players he got back. Listen, there's a lot of teams that have gone out there and spent a whole bunch of money and they haven't got that production back. And I don't want to sit here and make this a in Jerry defense, you know, type thing. But I just think that for the next, until the quarterback's contract is up, I think that those three are tied, you know, in terms of job status.
Sure.
That's just my opinion.
I mean, I disagree, obviously. I think that anything worse than 500, his job is seriously on the line. I don't necessarily think that he's tied with McAdoo or Eli. I think, and, you know, I don't mean to digress because there was a point to me asking that question in regards to Joe Thomas. I also think that people calling for Perkins and Adams is also a very big result of Rashad Jennings' inefficiency and how atrocious Larry Donnell is. But we'll get to Larry Donnell in a little bit. You brought up a really good point with his second round picks. He's hit on four awesome second round picks in a row. If Jerry Reese thinks his job is on the line, I think he needs to pull the trigger, because if he finishes worse than 500, I think he's gone, and I think that he won't be the one making that second round pick anymore. So the argument can be made that if he's going to be on the hot seat, then, you know, you might as well pull the trigger. In terms of the NFC, I know you brought up whether the Giants can be a contender. I think they're just like play calling fixes away from being one of the best teams in the NFC, because the NFC is a bunch of garbage. I mean, the Giants are actually playing in probably the toughest division there is. Joe Thomas, he makes the left side of the line almost impenetrable between him, Justin Pugh, and Weston Richburg. You move Eric Flowers over to the right side, so he's no longer protecting Eli's blind side. I made the argument that he projects as a good guard because of his run blocking and how strong he is. His technique leaves a lot to be desired. Second round pick, I do it. I think the only other team that really could compete in a Joe Thomas trade are the Patriots. And if they do that, I mean, the Super Bowl is a lock for them. I think the only other team that could really give them a run for their money is Denver with that defense. But then you're getting the best left tackle probably in the league, so you're kind of negating a lot of that there.
Seattle could also do it, but they're really tight in terms of cap space. They could take on his...
That's the thing.
Contract, but they would need to extend a couple of their players.
Yeah, and restructure some money.
Yeah, right. In order to free up some more space to get that flexibility. But
could really use him, but they're broke.
No, they can. They could use him, but their salary is in terms of salary cap, they're really, really bad. But I'm with you. I would give up a second. But I will say this one thing, and I don't think this decision should be made where my job is on the line, so I got to go out there and try to fix all my my issues in one. And by the trade deadline. But I do agree, if he thinks that, hey, if I get a left tackle in there, you know, for the next 2-3 years, who can play at he's arguably the best left tackle in pro football. He has never missed a game. I don't know if he's missed a snap or not, but if I get a left tackle in there, that gives me a chance to win, given my quarterback. I do it.
He's a 9-time pro bowler. And you're in a division with the Eagles, whose defense has been absolutely outstanding. The Cowboys, who I said before the season were going to be an underrated group, and, you know, the Redskins are the Redskins. So, at the end of the day, and you're going to need to win almost all these divisional games moving forward if you want to have a chance with the way that Dallas has been playing. So, I think, you know, Joe Thomas he makes the Giants better immediately. And
what about Bill Staley?
I'd take Staley.
Not a second-round pick. That'd be more. Right. I think the 49ers are lost their mind if they're going to get a first-round pick for Joe Staley.
Yeah.
Was actually older than Joe Thomas, by the way.
Right.
And I'm not as good, but I do Joe Thomas for a late round pick, and I do, I do Staley for a late round pick, and I do Thomas for a second round pick. Yes.
Yeah, if you look at the Browns, I mean, Joe Thomas or not, their quarterbacks are dropping like flies. So, to me, I understand you want to protect your young guys, but Kessler went down, McCown went down, RG3 went down.
They got this guy Hogan starting on Sunday.
They got Kevin Hogan, brother. So it's
got Joe Callahan, who's been all over the place.
Yeah,
so they got him at number two quarterback. So they got him. It was complete rebuild mode for Hugh Jackson.
Yep.
in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. I mean, might as well just put Terrell Pryor back at quarterback.
And I'm hoping that they win their first game before they play the Giants.
Yes,
because
they could get it against the Jets this week, I think.
I think that's when they're going to get it.
I would love to see that.
I think they're going to get it this Sunday against the Jets.
Which would be such a Jets thing to do. Like, Fitzpatrick comes back, you get the win, and you're feeling a little better about yourself, and then you lose to the Browns. That'd be unbelievable.
Who the hell does Ryan Fitzpatrick think he is? No.
No, it's funny to me. I mean,
and I loved Todd Bowles' answer. I love Todd Bowles' answer. It was a perfect response to, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Give me a break, man. This is... unbelievable.
Yeah, no shit, people started doubting you. You threw like 6 interceptions in a game.
Unbelievable. Like, what, 10 interceptions in the first 4 games or 5 games or whatever?
It's crazy.
Give me a break.
All right. Let's move on. You want to talk? Let's talk last week before we get into bye week adjustments.
Let's talk the London game.
Let's talk London. Fish and chips. Let's do all of it. All right, my general thoughts on the game. Defense looked good. I still would like the, as you saw, a little creativity. You want to see more creativity out of that unit. I think that they are good because of their talent. I think the coaching still needs to get better. I pray that they adjust during the bye week. I want to see more stunts. I want to see more defensive line rotation. Landon Collins has been unbelievable. I think he is, I tweeted out on Sunday during the game, 100% should be in conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I saw some comment on Twitter about Rashad Jones not even being in consideration, even though Landon Collins is on pace for those stats. Rashad Jones is a free safety. Landon Collins is a strong safety, so different position. More hits, less picks, even though Collins got two. DRC, a lot of people were not high on him coming into the season between the Eli Apple pick and him being you know slightly injured for parts of last year. I always thought he was an incredible cornerback. Good to see him finally step up, get a couple picks, even though one was a gimme. But it was caused because the Giants finally sent a man on a blitz, finally. On the offensive side of the ball, they got to get Odell the ball more. I've said it a million times. I feel like a lot of this is going to leak into kind of our bye week adjustments, but I'm just going through the things that I don't like. Running on every first down, hate it. Not going to Odell enough in the first half, hate it. Larry Donnell getting a majority of the tight end snaps, hate it. McAdoo's got to do a lot of work this bye week to, you know, scheme the offense better because, I mean, I know the Rams defense isn't necessarily a cakewalk, but, you know, you're up against Case Keenum and the defense is doing a good job. I brought this stat up on Twitter today. I believe last season the Giants only scored under 20 points four times. They've already done that three times, and it's the bye week. So while the defense has been playing good, if this offense can figure it out, the Giants can no doubt be one of the best teams in the NFC. So it's just frustrating for me to watch, knowing that the talent is there, but the coaching really hasn't been, in my opinion. Those are my thoughts on the London game. I thought all around it was a good job. By the way, I could get used to these early games. Now I know what these California people are talking about. Kind of waking up Sunday, you're all groggy, maybe a little hungover. You go get like a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, some sweatpants on the couch. I kind of liked it. It was nice. It was quiet. My roommates weren't up. I had the lights off. It was great. That's my thoughts on the London game.
Yeah, I was up too. Woke up at like 8:30. I actually got a good night's sleep the night before. I didn't do anything
nice.
Wild. But in terms of the London game, I'm just going to start with the defense. I mean, that was a great performance by the Giants defense all around. Everybody played well. All phases. Landon Collins won an interception.
Yeah.
Incredible. One of the best plays you'll see this season. He continues to have his breakout season. He is arguably the best strong safety in the NFL right now. I mean, I don't know any of them that any player is playing as good as him at that position in terms of all around, you know, being able to rush the passer, tackling, you know, with his two interceptions. Spagnuolo did a good job. I think you're not giving him enough credit. I think there was a lot of disguises. They did a good job. They won a lot of their one-on-one battles, so we'll give him credit on that. He did a good job making Case Keenum get confused at times. He does a good job against that. I always say he does a good job against teams he used to be associated with.
This is true.
You know, so he did a good job against the Rams, obviously, with Keenum. Offensively, I mean, it is panic mode right now. I mean, I don't want to hear no more about, well, they'll get it going. I mean, the slow start is over. We're at the midway point in the season, and this offense is really bad.
Can I step in and just read you some numbers real quick?
Go ahead.
This is from Jordan Ron on Giants are 20th in total offense through seven games and are tied for 25th in points per game at 19. And then on top of that, the Odell stat. He has just seven catches for 51 yards in the first quarter, by far his least productive period this season. He has zero first-half touchdowns. The Giants are 31st in the NFL with just 14 points scored in the first quarter this season. So, I mean, it's just dismal.
Yeah, I look, I understand that coaching has been a problem offensively too, and I don't want to take any blame off McAdoo. I think he has the blame. But I don't think it's the play calling more so as I think it's schemes.
Well, that also falls on McAdoo.
No. I'm saying, like, I don't want to take any blame off McAdoo. I'm saying in terms of what to blame him for.
In terms of bye week adjustments, I was going to suggest going less wide receiver, three wide receivers, because it's like 90% of their schemes. It's ridiculous.
Here, look. Giants did enough to win. They showed that they're a resilient team.
Which is good, because it's like the opposite of last year.
Exactly. They showed a resilient team. They showed that they can put stuff aside and go out there and win. The defense can win them games compared to previous years, and that's a plus. Let's go into bye week adjustments right now.
Okay, perfect.
All right, let's do that. They played well in London. They got the win, right?
Yeah.
We're happy. Here's the adjustment. Like I said, with McAdoo, I don't think it's the play calling as much as the schemes. You hit it right on the head. Three wide receivers. I understand that's the bread and butter of this offense with those three receivers. But I think you need to go more to a, you know, at times you got to, you know, put Eli under center, run a stretch to the outside, run a toss, run, you know, that will lead to play action. Also, the Giants are last in the NFL in rushing right now. They are last. They're dead last. They're 32nd. So they're the worst rushing team in the NFL. I think personnel-wise, you know, a lot of people talk about getting the Joe Thomas and the Joe Staley, but maybe they should look for a tight end on the training.
Yes.
They can get and nobody's saying it has to be a big name. I feel like a couple people said Gary Barnage.
No, they're, someone that can seal the edge.
Yeah, Gary Barnage might be able to catch the ball and is that sexy name, as we say.
Yeah.
But he's not really a good blocker. So if you're looking for a good blocking tight end, they got to go out there, they got to see who's available, maybe look to free agency a little bit. So they got to change up personnel a little bit. I would like to see Jarrell Adams get in the game more. I think Paul Perkins deserves a more care. I'm not going to say he deserves to be the starting running back, but I think he deserves a more of a workload after the bye. And where has Orleans Darkwa been? I mean, last I checked, he had a, you know, going up against the Vikings, he did a decent job. We haven't seen him since in the Green Bay game. You know, I don't know if he got any snaps in the Green Bay game. I know the last two games I didn't see him at all. So, you know, it can't just be Rashad Jennings. It seems like Jennings is not, you know, getting anything going. So they need to offensively, they got to change some schemes up a little bit. You know, not run the same personnel every single play. They have to look at personnel. Larry Donnell, what does he do for me? Nothing.
Literally nothing. He's a liability.
No, he's a liability on the offense. My quarterback, and Eli deserves some of his blame too. I understand that the Giant offensive line is average at best. They did okay against the Rams. There weren't a lot of clean pockets, but when there were clean pockets, Eli Manning didn't give time to go through his reads or make the right throw. He has to play better. There's room for improvement all around, and there's room for blame all around. So I think you got to look at schemes. You got to look at personnel. You're going to need some of your guys to play better. And last but not least, like you said, you got to get Beckham involved early more often. You got to we talk about the defense, how they got to move players around. Well, they got to move players around on offense, you know, in terms of maybe you put Victor Cruz in the slot. Maybe you put Beckham in the slot. Put Shepard outside. Execution is an important thing here. It's not just all on coaching. I tweeted this out the other day. The Giants' first drive ended with a Larry Donnell fumble on the first play of the game.
Yep.
Their second was a drop by Victor Cruz. The third, listen, it was a second and one screen to Odell Beckham, but he would have got that first down if the play was blocked. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the play call was the right play call in that time on second and one, but if people execute correctly, you know, that's a first down. So I think there's blame to go on all around. But the point is that they have a lot to do to fix it. And, you know, Eli Manning said, this is an interesting quote from him, he says, the rookies are no longer rookies now after the bye. You know, you have to start playing. You know, we need you to play better. Well, now, you know, Ben McAdoo is not really a rookie head coach anymore. You've been going at it for seven games. It's time for Ben McAdoo to be that offensive genius that was the reason he got the job. It's time to mix some things up. It's time to get creative in your schemes. You have talent offensively. You know, offensive line play in general has been bad. Just go back and watch that Sunday game from last Sunday. How many holding penalties? Go look at last yesterday's game with the Broncos. They got called for, they've been called for 8 holding penalties in 2 games or something like that. So you have to work with what you have and leave the whole trade talk aside for a table for a second. You have to work with what you have, and they have enough talent to get this offense going. So it, there's blame to go around the whole way. So they have to do a better job. That's just my take.
Yeah, you hit on a lot of points. Now here's my main criticism of McAdoo right now. If you look at last year, I mean, the only thing that changed was the fact that the Giants' defense was bad. So you were able to, you know, Jennings wasn't terrible last year. When he got a majority of the carries, he was averaging over 4 yards per carry. I do want to talk about him in a minute. There should be really no difference in your offensive philosophy. The offensive line didn't get worse from last year. You only got better offensive weapons this year. I think the only difference is that last year, this team was constantly chasing and playing from behind, so McAdoo just felt the need to throw. But if that works, I don't understand why you don't use that. And then once that's successful, because you know it's going to be, you got Beckham, Cruz, you got Shepard, you use that to set up the run, which will be more successful. So, you know, in terms of scheming, that really upset me. When you look at the Giants' schedule for the last few games, you know, when Jennings has played, and I'll pull up the numbers right now, you know, he's been playing against some pretty good run defenses, and not only that, but he hasn't really been getting a huge majority of the carries. You know, he had the Ravens' run defense, no joke, he only got 9 carries. Against the Rams, he only got 13. You know, he's a guy, or if you look at his numbers for the last 4 games last year, when you give him a lion's share of the carries, he's going to get going. He's going to break a big play. He's pretty good in space. He's underratedly good at catching the ball. Now, I don't think he's the solution. I'm just giving my defense of Rashad Jennings because everyone seems to despise him. I think he's better than people give him credit for.
Oh, I don't think he should be. I think he should still be the lead back. I think people are saying I don't think Perkins is ready for that larger role. But you go ahead.
Okay, so my whole point is, they're essentially every first down they're doing a power run right through the middle of the offensive line with no fullback and with no lead blocker. It's not gonna work. Teams aren't going to change up the defense because they know that it's coming. So on top of that, you have a guy who is not necessarily known for his agility. He's a power back. He's 230 pounds. He's 6'1". That's why I think Perkins is better suited for this offense if they're not going to run with a fullback and they're going to run every first down, because at least Perkins has some lateral movement and can bounce outside, can, you know, dance around a couple of linebackers before going down. You know, he deserves some more carries. I hope we see it after the bye. Jarrell Adams, I wrote about him last week. Need more Jarrell Adams. If not for the fact that he has potential, if for the fact that Larry Donnell is goddamn awful. He's irresponsible with the ball. He has 0 yard after the catch ability. I wrote about it. I tweeted it. Every time he catches and runs, it looks like a giraffe, baby giraffe, trying to walk for the first time. He is goofy in every aspect of the word. Will Tye had he was good last year, but again, can't block. He's not a big red zone target. You could argue that's Donnell's only redeeming quality, but at the end of the day, the Giants aren't even getting in the red zone that often, and when they do, they stink. He's so not a red
zone target. He had
6'6".
Yeah, listen, he can't get up there. I've seen many on many occasions where they throw it to him in the red zone and he can't come down with the ball.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not a good football player, but in theory, he's a good red zone target.
In theory, because of his height, but right. In reality, he's not even a red zone target.
You got Jarrell Adams, who weighs just as much. He is an inch shorter. He's more athletic. He's probably a better blocker. He didn't catch many balls in college, but he can certainly has the yards after catch ability to maybe beat a linebacker that Larry Donnell doesn't have. So at the end of the day, give me Jarrell Adams over any of the other tight ends on the Giants roster. Wouldn't be against trading for one, although I think it is unlikely. The scheming, you gotta get Beckham involved more, man. It makes no sense to me. I know that you were throwing a lot more last year because you were constantly down because the defense stunk. But if it works, why are you changing it up? It just makes no sense to me.
I think in the Rams game he was hurt. I think he was hurting a lot. He still is.
But you can still use him as a decoy. You still got Shepard. You still got Cruz. You know, you're going run every first down. You're getting a yard. I joked about it, but it's true. The NFL could speed up some of these games by just giving the Giants a 2nd and 9 to start their drives every time.
Yeah, they really have to. Like I said, it's in terms of play calling, there needs to be an improvement. But I think the big thing is the scheme. I don't mind you running on first down. Don't do it every play. And don't run the same damn run play.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And you know, the thing is, when they put that stupid tight end there, Larry Donnell, when you put him in there, he can't block. So he's just another body that's plugging up a hole for Rashad Jennings to go through.
You know what I would rather do? Put Will Beattie in there as a jumbo tight end.
Put Beattie in there, run outside. You know? Yep. I mean, they have to do something else. Have you seen the Giants run a toss play to the left side of the offensive line?
Nope.
Which is, Eric Flyer's a good run blocker, right?
Yeah.
That's one thing he's good at. Run to the outside, you know? Pop Jerry outside. I mean, scheming wise, they have to do a better job to get the running game going. It's bad. And I told you this before the season started. I said, I don't got faith in their tight ends. I said, if the Giants don't figure out how to run the football, I don't care how good their offense is, they don't figure out how to run the football, they won't be able to win down the stretch. They won't. They just will not be able to. You cannot win in this league with that being that bad in terms of running the football. And I know people say, well, they won the Super Bowl with the 27th ranked run game. Yeah, that is true, but you got to remember, Bradshaw missed a lot of games because he had a broken foot. Once Bradshaw came back, they were able to run the ball again and got on that hot streak. So, you know, stats don't tell everything in some cases, but they have to figure out how to run the football better. They have to.
Agree. All right. You want to get into some questions?
Let's do it.
Before we get into some questions, I do want to bring up one more thing. Janoris Jenkins, my guy.
Man, I love Janoris Jenkins.
When will he answer me? And it's clamp season. Come on the podcast, Janoris. Come on.
You know what's my favorite quote from Janoris Jenkins? Oh, this man has the best quotes I've ever heard in my life.
He's hilarious.
He speaks the truth.
Yeah.
Reporter asked Janoris, "Are you guys tired about the flight?" "We don't get tired, boss." That's awesome, man. I love that, and it's true. The guy plays every snap, every game. He's played amazing for this team. I know he got beat on that one play, and that was kind of like bad Janoris. Remember, we talked about good Janoris, bad Janoris.
We haven't seen bad Janoris a lot. The only play was that Mike Wallace breakdown.
You know, that wasn't a bad play. He just got beat deep. Mike Wallace, that's what Mike Wallace is known for. But the one bad one was from the Rams, and he got beat deep by, I think it was either Brian Quick or Brandon
Over
Quick.
Over the middle, and he broke it up. Right? Or
it was that one deep ball.
Okay.
Where he got beat, and they showed the replay. He kind of hesitated and was watching the quarterback and kind of fell for it, and then the receiver beat him deep. I don't blame him for the Mike Wallace one as much, but there was one in that Rams game he got beat deep. But other than that, man, he's been fantastic, man. He's got to come on the show. I would love, and the questions that I would ask Janoris Jenkins would be unbelievable.
Yeah, me too. It would be great. It's clamp season. We need him on here.
He is something else, man. He is a funny, funny. He's a guy that you can just hang out with.
Yeah.
I'm serious, man. You can just play FIFA with him all day.
100%. And guys, listen. Say that again?
I said you can just smack talk him all day.
Yeah.
Go out all day. He's a really good dude. He seems like a really fun guy to have in the locker room.
He seems hilarious. All right, we got a lot of listeners. And I tweeted it out. Guys, tweet at JackRabbit and ask him to come on the show. He retweeted me. He still hasn't followed me. Tell him to follow both of us and to get on this podcast. We want to have him. We'd love to have him. It's bye week. He's got nothing going on. He should be on next week's show, which I believe we'll have Art Stapleton as well. So we'll see what happens. That could be interesting. Let's do some questions.
Let's do it.
Tom McKinney, when do you think the front office realizes there's a need at tight end? Are we playing the wrong one? We both agree Jarrell Adams needs more time. I don't think Jerry Reese realized how bad Larry Donnell was until this season, but something will be done this offseason.
Yeah, I think we all kind of overthought who Will Tye was. I think we all really understood who Larry Donnell was. We kind of overthought Will Tye. He is who he is, but I think this offseason you're going to see an investment in tight end.
Definitely. Dan Bronowski, we UK Giants fans did the fan base and team proud on Sunday and just wanted that acknowledged. Ta to you, Dan. Good job.
It was a Giants home game from
people down there. It was. Shout out to you, Dan, and all the UK Giants supporters. Is there any possibility we lean towards another tight end and running back at the starting spot for Michael Miano? Already talked about that. I want to see more Perkins and more Adams.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you got to turn to your rookies, man. You have to.
Joe Antonio, do you have problems with OBJ not getting the same first half targets as the second half targets in yards? I do. I mean, like, he's the best player on the team. You got to get him the ball any way you can. Playmakers make plays. That's why they're called playmakers. Get him the ball in open space, and he's going to do something unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're asking too much of their receivers right now. Ask them to get the ball short and take it the distance. They got to get more creative for all three of their receivers in terms of where they line them up, where they get him the ball. In terms of Beckham, I think the target thing, I think they are getting him the ball. Obviously, they need to do a better job getting him the ball early.
Right, that's the problem.
He's still in the top five in targets. So
the thing is, and this is crazy when you think about how bad his first quarter and first half numbers are compared to his second half. Last year, he averaged 10.6 targets per game. Right now, he's averaging 10. Which is just crazy to me how often they target him in the second half as opposed to the first half.
Right.
King James, how many garage sales do I have to pay for Joe Thomas to come to New York? I don't know, however much a flight and a second round pick costs. That's how much you'll have to pay.
Yeah, and I'll add on, if you listen to Hugh Jackson and you're a believer in his word, I don't believe it. I don't either. The fact that there was a price tag on it, that means that they're really willing.
Yeah.
Do something.
Absolutely. Nick Becht, nearly halfway through the year, grade McAdoo's performance so far, considering everything. Brown, Odell, etc.
I like this question.
I like this question too. I didn't think about it, to be honest. I didn't look at any of these questions, so all my answers are straight off the top. So I'm going to give a grade in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm giving him a C+.
Okay.
What's your grade?
I'm right around there. C plus. I'll do B minus.
I was like 2 seconds away from saying C plus/B minus. But
I think if it was 5 and 2, I think we'd all be giving him an A right now. You know, given everything, yeah. And you know, and that Redskins game hurt a lot. But he's done a good job. I mean, he's done some things that made you scratch your head in terms of words that he used. But he's handled a lot of this stuff, you know, well. I mean, he's a rookie head coach. He's learning on the fly. Put under a lot of pressure, and he's done a good job. I think people that are getting on him, it's ridiculous some of the stuff that I hear, and people say it's not fair. You know, this is a rookie head coach, so I have faith that he can do things not just this year, but for many years to come. I believe in Ben McAdoo.
Two more offensive line related questions: James Demopoulos and Spooky Gronk. Now with Brown's head coach saying we're not dealing for Thomas, any chance we go after Staley? What is the Giants' backup plan when they inevitably lowball the Browns for Thomas? I think it's Thomas or bust, and if they can't get him, then oh well, they just stick with the same unit, and it's business as usual.
Yeah, and I don't understand that lowball thing. I
mean, yeah.
When they're doing a trade like this...
Price is a price when you're talking about Joe Thomas.
Negotiation is negotiation. The Giants didn't sell everything to get Joe Thomas. They should have their price, and I'm sure the Browns have their price, and they'll come to an agreement. Yes, the Browns are really serious about trading him.
Yes. Shout out to Drew, who tweeted at Janoris telling him to come on the podcast, and Drew also asks, do you think the bye week this week is good or bad? A couple of huge games coming up. Some players may get rusty. I think it's huge. Perfect time for a bye week. Not only will you get Thompson and Burhey back, two key players who the defense, or you know, I don't want to say they missed them, because I think, you know, Andrew Adams has done a good job. Landon Collins has been unbelievable. But when you think about the ball hawk aspect that Darian Thompson brings to the defense and how hard Nat Burhey hits, I think that those guys are key to the Giants' success. So they're going to have basically a healthy roster coming back. And two, it gives Ben McAdoo an extra week to not only figure out the Giants' own issues, but to scheme for Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, you said rusty. Couple players and they get rusty. I hope you're not talking about anybody on the offense.
Yeah.
They all looked rusty.
Yeah.
Listen, I think it'll help guys heal. I think not just more so the guys that, you know, were on the shelf for a while, Burhey, Thompson, but also guys like Olivier Vernon who are dealing with the wrist, guys like JPP with the shoulder, you know, Odell Beckham with the hip. So I think it comes at a good time. They got to regroup. They're not in a good spot, but they got a big division game coming up, so they got a great time to get everything right and prepare for for this game, so I don't worry about the bye week. I think the bye week is great for them right now.
Yep. Let me stick this little plug in here. Guys, if you're listening, please rate and review 5 stars on iTunes. Every rating helps. Bump us up into the top of the sports podcast. It would mean a lot. Perfect segue from last question to this question from G-Men Clan. Philadelphia's O-line holds the defense to 0 sacks. If the Giants lose, are hopes of winning the division gone? Question mark. I'm going to be just very honest with you guys. I don't think the Giants are going to win the division based on how well the Cowboys are playing. I would love to be proven wrong. If Ben McAdoo can figure out this offense, I think the Giants can make a serious run. But based on how the Giants have performed against NFC's opponents the last 3 or 4 years, I'm not optimistic. I think they can fight for a wild card spot, but it's going to be tough. They need to win a majority, if not every single one, of their remaining division games.
In terms of Philly, that game really scares me a lot. I think the Philadelphia defensive line, just look at the last 2 years, what they've done to the Giants. Now you add on Jim Schwartz and his creativity. I think it's definitely going to be a tall task for the Giants. Good thing they have a bye to hopefully figure things out. But in terms of the division, I'm not saying that they're completely out of it yet.
They're far from out of it, but
I'm not really buying. I don't think the Cowboys are going to continue this streak that they're on. They got a couple of, I know they beat a couple of good teams on their schedule, but you know, down the stretch, you know, I don't know if Dak can keep this up. They still go, they got at Pittsburgh, got the Vikings. You know, they got Detroit, you know, Baltimore. So they got a couple of tough opponents. In terms of the Giants, I mean, you look at, they're 4-3 right now. Hypothetically speaking, I do view the Eagle game as a must win for them. They have to win that game. Not just for, you say they can still compete for a wild card. I think they have to win that game for their season. They can't go 4-4. So they got to beat the Eagles. So you beat the Eagles, you're 5-3. Then you got the Bengals on Monday night. To me, you got to win that game. You're 6-3. Then you got the Bears and the Browns. You win those two, then you're 8-3. Who knows what 8-3 is going to be worth in the NFC when that time comes around?
Yep.
Then there'll be a tough stretch where you got at Pittsburgh. Most likely, Ben will be back. Home against the Cowboys, which will be a huge game in my opinion.
Prime time.
Yeah, Detroit, which is not a cakewalk. If you think Detroit is a cakewalk, you are confused.
Look at what they did to the Redskins this weekend.
That quarterback is playing that quarterback's playing as good as any quarterback in the league right now, outside of maybe Tom Brady. But he's playing really well. And then the final two games at the Eagles and at the Redskins. So, you know, that stretch, you know, in that November, there's a lot of winnable games for the Giants, but that Eagle game is very, very important for them. And I say this again, the bye week came at a great time for them to prepare for this. And hopefully, they do not come out flat. We see a different Giant team, a different Giant offense. Because defensively, I think they'll be able to wreak havoc. I don't think the Eagles have playmakers on offense that can really terrify the Giants. So I think offensively, I hope that they can figure some things out and they can get that going and win some games in the second half of the season.
Yeah. Agree. I guess this will be the last one. It's similar to the one we just answered, but I'll give Garrett Krakowicz, I believe that's how it's pronounced, a shout out. What are your realistic predictions for the rest of the year? Well, he asked a second question, I think, or maybe I'm just reading the wrong one. Okay. What are your realistic predictions for the rest of the year? You brought it up just now. Next three: Eagles, Bengals, Bears at home, Browns on the road. 4 games that they, now I'm not going to say are, you know, easy wins by any means, especially the Eagles, especially the Bengals, but they're winnable games. Well, I know that this is a Giants team that can pull out these victories, and then all of a sudden they're 8-3. So there you go. I mean, you brought it up. They don't have a very easy stretch between Big Ben and the Steelers, Cowboys at home, Lions at home, and then to end the season, Thursday night, at Philadelphia, and then Sunday at Redskins. I mean, it's not going to be an easy stretch. They need to take at least 3 of the next 4 games. Obviously, 4 is ideal. Who wouldn't want 4? But I think they need 3.
Yeah, I think I would love to see the Giants go on a little winning streak here. beat the Eagles. We're not going to give our prediction right now. We're going to say that for next week, right?
Sure, yeah.
All right. So they get. Hopefully they beat the Eagles. Hopefully they get that Monday night win against the Browns. I think that'll be a good win to kind of say, okay, we're back. We're 6-3. We're a contender in this. And then those two Brown Bengals games, they should win and get to 8-3. When you get to December at 8-3, then it's that month where, okay, here's that stretch for the Giants.
Yep.
To show what they're made of. So for me, I would like to see them get on a nice little win streak in these next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks.
Agree. Love it. All right. Episode 12 in the books. Guys, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes. Subscribe on Audio Boom with your email address. Subscribe on Google Play if you're on Android. Remember, jersey giveaway coming up this week. Authentic Nike Jason Pierre-Paul. So stay tuned. Check our Twitters for that. We'll announce the details maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. Who knows? Enjoy your bye week. Go take your girl apple picking or pumpkin picking.
What are you doing on the bye week?
What am I doing on the bye week? I haven't decided yet. There's a chance I go to Boston and visit some friends up there. If not, I may just, you know, use it to spend some family time. What about you?
I got some other ventures I do on Sundays, okay. So I'll probably take care of that. But I will definitely get away from Giants. I need a break from them, man.
100%.
They too much for me right now, so I'll probably take a break. You guys won't see me on Twitter for a while, for a couple days. Hopefully nothing dumb happens in this bye week and people stay out of the news and we get ready for the Eagles. So see you guys in a couple days.
Yeah, let's do it. Big episode next week. Hopefully we'll get Art Stapleton on the show. Yes. That'll be great. And also hopefully Mr. Jackrabbit himself.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. If you guys tweet at him, he will come on. I promise you. Just do it incessantly. Every day. Tweet at him. All right. Episode 12 in the books. Peace.